This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Oanda, Senior Market Analyst in Singapore, Kelvin Wong. Kelvin, good morning from London and good afternoon to you.
Good morning over to you and good evening over my end here in Asia.
Well, it's been a very dramatic couple of days. The world has changed since I last spoke to Trader Nick on Friday with the US and Israeli attack on Iran. And we've seen global oil prices rise significantly. Gold has gone up quite a lot as well. And markets are on tender hooks. So where do you want to start? I'm assuming probably with oil prices because they've jumped by more than 10%, haven't they, over the last couple of days?
Sure, yes, for sure. Definitely we'll talk about oil prices right now because it's part of the metrics that could potentially impact US Federal Reserve monetary policy stances going forward. So what we could see over here is that in the last 48 hours has been pretty fast and fury in terms of the retaliation move done by both sides. So what we could see over here is that initially, there was some pricing of a much more of a symbolic attack, but however, this symbolic attack akin to last summer seems to have been faded off as we are speaking right now, as both sides continues to decide to press on to attack one another on a various front. So what we could see over here is that very interestingly, the Iran side of the story is that they decided to strike U.S. military asset that's being spread over the Middle East, particularly in the Saudi Arabia, and as well as even safe haven places like Dubai. So just a while ago, about an hour ago, there was a strike on one of the oil refineries in Saudi Arabia, which was shut down. And the most fearful right now over here was the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And even Iran didn't specifically state that they were close to the Strait of Hormuz, but right now there is actually fearful of a cargo ship, oil tanker of going past that strait over here, and even freight insurers removing their war coverage insurance on such on their plans. So that being said, over here is that at least in the very near term, we potentially could see this fear of a narrative, the fear narrative of this oil supply disruption that potentially could intensify at least in the near term. So what we could see over here is that oil prices reacted to that at the start of today's Asia session. It actually gapped up to 10%, where you start to see the West Texas crude oil hitting close to about a four-year high or so, and before backing down slightly. So right now, as we are speaking, the West Texas crude oil is trading at about 7%, going back to very close to today's Asia session high, which is at very quickly at 73.5. And we have this Brent crude over here. So Brent crude right now is also trading near the session high at the start of today's Asia session, which is what up by what also close about 7.7%, almost the same level as slightly more higher than we talk about West Texas crude oil trading at 78 per barrel or 78.7 per barrel. So what market is actually freaking out right now is due to that rising risk of stagflation again for some of the major developed economies, especially in the US, where in the past few months we start to see rather weak or lackluster labor market numbers. And given the fact that if oil price continues to maintain at such firm level, or worse still, if speculators start to push it up above the $90/$100 per barrel for West Texas crude oil, the Federal Reserve hands may be tied to continue their interest rate cut cycle, bearing in mind that in the past two meetings, they decided to put on hold to wait and see based on latest economic slash events that could unfold. And the thing over here is that if this situation continues to escalate further, especially in oil prices, potentially we may not even see an interest rate cut going forward in 2026. So that could be very detrimental to the US stock market. Bear in mind that at the start of this year, we start to see prior high-flying AI-related slash even software technology stocks seeing that sell-off due to this overvaluation risk and as well as in some form the AI slash disruption play.
It's interesting there, Kelvin, because some analysts have warned that the oil price could actually surpass $100 a barrel in the event of a prolonged conflict, which, as you've just indicated, could have a big knock-on effect on inflation and interest rates. But the market isn't panicking at the moment. All eyes are going to be on the traffic that's coming through the Strait of Hormuz. If things start moving again, we could see oil prices fall. So after that initial surge that we've seen over the weekend, Brent crude has fallen back a bit, hasn't it, to just below $80 a barrel, and the same with WTI. So as I said, markets aren't panicking quite yet.
Precisely. So if we look at it over here, it all boils down to the relationship between US and Iran going forward. Would there be what I call a de-escalation of tension? That means both sides are willing to come down and sit on the negotiation table again and to discuss things going forward, particularly from the US side of the things, that they want a total dismantling of Iran, we call it nuclear stockpile program. And from the Iranian side of the things, they also want a total removal of their sanctions that is being put in place by the US authorities, by the US administration also. And do not forget over here is that over the weekend, we also do have the OPEC Plus meeting. So OPEC Plus members has also taken this into account of this potential oil risk supply disruption, where they decided to right now to begin pumping more oil into the among the cartel members by starting to increase oil production next month in April. So what I'm actually watching is, in from a technical perspective, there are various key support levels to look at. So, and as well as resistance level. So we're talking about if oil prices for some analysts to shooting up to what $100 per barrel, oil price got to maintain at a very key support level at the 62.20 for West Texas oil. But if we start to see easing of tension, and market participant from there will start to take into account of that continuation of what I call it oil supply increase by OPEC Plus members led by the Saudi Arabians, that could dwindle oil prices down back towards the range support again around about $59/$55 per barrel.
Perhaps I'm being a bit too optimistic, but if we did see a more dovish Iranian regime following maybe some talks and negotiations, oil prices could fall below their average of this year, because that would change things entirely, wouldn't it?
Yes, precisely, Johnny, very precisely. So do not forget over here is that the main trigger since the start of this year for higher oil prices has been rising geopolitical risk premium. And indeed, if the new Iranian leadership that comes in over here, that take over, it's more of a dovish way of doing things, more in line with embracing, we call it a much more responsible Middle Eastern neighbor, which move in line with their so-called international, we call it a community of not putting so much fear in terms of the Middle East surrounding, more particularly about their, we call it a disarmament of existing nuclear arsenal or nuclear stockpile. That could potentially immediately lead to an erosion of this geopolitical risk premium that has built up at the start of this year. And for sure, speculators will start to trim down on their net bullish bet on oil, and that could actually cascade down to lower oil prices back below the $59 to $55 per barrel.
What's obvious though is most commentators, President Trump and everybody else, will not want this to be too prolonged. Inevitably, Kelvin, we've also seen a rush to gold as well, because as we know, it's a safe bet in these very, very difficult times.
Yes, precisely. So gold itself is now benefiting from two aspects of things. One, as you mentioned, Johnny, will be a demand from safe haven play, narrative play. And also on top of that is the way the current US White House administration does in terms of conducting its foreign policy, which for sure now Trump is now undertaking a rather aggressive foreign policy, where based on his own way of doing things that without any consultation of US airlines to take down US adversary, either in terms of execution or arrest. So that actually kind of led to an alert in terms of the financial markets, where US itself will start to continue to embrace this rather aggressive foreign policy without thinking of its aftermath. So that kind of sell American trade narrative also has taken a center front as well on this aspect, where we also potentially see an increase in demand for gold price over here. So if you look at gold price, so far it has rallied close to about 19% since that we call it that dramatic sell-off that takes shape in end of January to 2nd of February. And that has really retraced more than 62% retracement of that swift downfall. So if you look at the way gold prices is moving right now, in line with the current geopolitical climate, and in terms of that potential sell America narrative to come into play again, due to the fact that the way that the US White House administration is conducting its aggressive foreign policy, gold price could potentially see another fresh all-time high if it starts to see a clear breakout of that 5,600 level. So we got to take things into perspective into such circumstances, where this South American trade narrative could intensify, and one of the beneficiary will be gold prices over here. And in terms of speculation, yeah, for sure, I mean, there will be another round of speculation coming into play. And but that has been potentially supported by this structural situation over here, where we start to see this we call it sell American narrative takes hold if this US-Iran conflict does not start to boil down in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, plenty to talk about today, but we mustn't forget the week to come. I mean, who knows what's going to happen over the next few days, Kelvin. We've got some important data coming up. I suppose the headline will be Friday's non-farm payroll, US jobs, and the repercussions from that as well.
Yes, precisely. So other than the non-farm payroll, let me talk about there's this Chinese tool session, which is one of them, the Chinese People Political Consultative Conference, that will kickstart on Wednesday, 4th of March. So this is a very important calendar, a political calendar for the Chinese economy. Why? Because during this point in time, the top Chinese leadership will officially announce a growth target for this year for the Chinese economy, and as well as a 5-year economic plan that potentially guide we call it the private sector together with the public sector in achieving these economic goals. So market participants will be on the lookout. Would there be potentially more fiscal stimulus measure and monetary policy measure? Especially, would there be a mentioning of a jumpstart to improve consumer spending in the Chinese economy? So in the past few months, there was a lack of mention in jumpstarting consumer spending in China, but the emphasis has been more on state-driven directive on specific industrials in the Chinese economy, particularly related to AI, robotics, and in some form of high-tech healthcare initiative. That so if there will be a special mention to actually jumpstart this consumer/domestic consumption spending in the Chinese economy during the start of this Chinese People Political Consultative Conference that is that kickstarting on Wednesday, 4th of March, that could potentially see a rally in the China-related stock market, particularly the Hang Seng stock indices, and as well as the China A-shares market. And most importantly, at the end of the week, we have this non-farm payroll data coming out from the US. In the last few months, non-farm payroll data has been rather lackluster. So this time around, market is expecting a rather low ball number. So after previous month of 130K increase for January, now market is expecting less than a half increment, only pricing in about 60K jobs increase. And for the unemployment rate, they are still looking at a high level of 4.3%. So if we start to continue to see such a low expectation coming in for non-farm payroll data, or even worse still, coming in below 60K jobs added for the month of February. So that was markets being penciled in. That could potentially allows the Fed to have a chance of continuation of cutting rates in 2026, but that could potentially be in the summer months over here. So market is still looking for the next cut or the fifth cut, the fourth cut in this ongoing interest rate cut cycle to come in July, and potentially one more rate cut before 2026, as either in the October or December meeting. So, but that nevertheless, that also pretty much dependent on how oil prices will be at that point in time as well.
Yeah, the landscape's changed so much over the last couple of days, Kelvin. I'm not expecting anything particularly dovish from the Fed, and probably you're not as well, but we shall wait and see. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again very soon.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.